Hello and welcome to the Roving Social Worker Podcast. I am Jay, your roving social worker. Last month, I had the honor of talking with Christopher Scott on his podcast, The Hip Hop Social Worker, where we talked generally about travel social work, clinical social work, race, and self-care. If you haven't listened to his podcast yet on Anchor, I suggest tuning in. Today, I'm going to speak very clearly about a few trends in social work that I despise. I see it all over social media, I hear it in private conversations, and it's often toxic, professional splitting, bullshit, and nonsense. Welcome to this week's Roving Social Worker Podcast episode, hashtag SSWPS, also known as what I mutter under my breath, shit social work professionals say. Number one, we're in it for the outcome, not the income. No. False. This ideology is concerning for a few reasons. First, it's often used against us as social workers as a part of the justification for our low wage, low pay. Second, it is weaponized against social workers, insinuating that making more or expecting more than 20-something an hour with a master's degree is somehow unethical. This fantastical stretch of the mind plays on the thought process that if social workers make more money, this will somehow destroy social service agencies and harm clients. Third, and somewhat the worst for me, is the profession of social work buys into this narrative that is taught at our foundation, our education. We as social work students are told that we should never expect more than what is presented. Do not let anyone tell you it's a simple matter of a nice resume, post-interview note that you send, or the ability to negotiate your pay. This is so ingrained in our profession that even social work supervisors or admin buy into this too. Agencies set rates, and they are rarely close to any minimum that a BSW, MSW, or doctoral social worker should be making. If you ever see my $35 minimum hashtag, that is what I'm referencing. The master's level social worker should be making at least $35 an hour. Our BSWs, much higher than they make now. And doctoral level folks, I'm looking at six figures as fair. Onward to issue two. The client always comes first. Wrong. Stop. The client does not always come first. Before we get into that discussion, let me read to you two sections of the NASW COE pulled from the NASW website under Purpose of the NASW Code of Ethics. I'm going to slow down as I talk because I tend to trip over my own words. And the language, well, it's the language of a code of ethics. Here we go. The Code of Ethics offers a set of values, principles, and standards to guide decision-making and conduct when ethical issues arise. It does not provide a set of rules that prescribe how social workers should act in all situations. Specific applications of the code must take into account the context in which it is being considered and the possibility of conflicts among the code's values, principles, and standards. Ethical responsibilities flow from all human relationships, from the personal and familial to the social and professional. Further, the NASW Code of Ethics does not specify which values, principles, and standards are most important and ought to outweigh others in instances when they conflict. Reasonable differences of opinion can and do exist among social workers with respect to the ways in which values, ethical principles, and ethical standards should be rank ordered when they conflict. Ethical decision making in a given situation must apply the informed judgment of the individual social worker and should also consider how the issues would be judged in a peer review process where the ethical standards of the profession would be applied. I am not going to read the COE in its entirety. Reading it, refreshing yourself, and understanding it is part of being a social worker. It's part of your responsibility. It doesn't matter what you do as a social worker. This is something we need to know to be ethically practicing as a social worker. This means that if you haven't read it since grad school, please go to the NASW website and refresh yourself. It's on there. It's free. If you want to explore the topic a bit more, I suggest listening to the social work podcast episodes related to the COE. And then there's a couple of really good articles I've read off the new Social Worker website that address the intricacies of ethics. So back to my beef with the client always comes first. I want to be very clear when I say this. Your safety, your family's safety, your colleague's safety is not secondary to a client's. Safety means a lot of things, from managing actual threats and physical altercations with a client to managing your own physical and emotional limitations when working with clients. What do I mean? Well, the threats and fights are fairly self-explanatory, right? But sometimes we forget to manage our own health and well-being while we work because we always put the client first, or at least we are told we should in many situations. When employers expect us to pick up the slack by working overtime or being on call for weeks on end or forcing us to have high caseloads because, you know, it's best for the client and they always come first, even when you have 100 on your caseload. Those are examples of direct assaults to the employee's well-being, and I use the word assault. This phrase of the client always comes first is used to degrade one's ability to practice daily self-care, maintain their personal boundaries, and it even impacts our pay. Nowhere in the COE does it advocate or state in black and white that we must serve the client first in every situation. As a matter of fact, it plainly states that these issues are intricate and case by case. Employers will purposefully overload you and then tell you your failures are your fault because you're not engaging in self-care and you're not paying enough attention to the 100 plus clients within a 40-hour work week. Your employer will blame you for system failure. Employers will use excuses to abuse your talents, your social work skills, and abilities, all the while billing 2 to 3 times what they are probably paying you. If you are billing, find out how much they get paid for your work. If you work for a nonprofit, request their filed annual returns to the IRS. That is part of the public disclosure requirements laid out by the federal government. You can learn more about that at the IRS website by searching Exempt Organization Public Disclosure and Availability Requirements. Once again, that is Exempt Organization Public Disclosure and Availability Requirements. This shit ain't secret. Medicaid, Medicare, and commercial insurance plans will tell you in reimbursement rates as well. There is no one solution for managing these personal, professional, and truly systemic issues. What I will say is this. Social work is able to provide services to clients from a social justice perspective within multiple systems. We are embedded in a variety of fields to provide assistance through this lens of social justice, whether it be in direct practice, education, policy, or even in my part of the world of travel social work. We must also remember that we have been trained to recognize when the client does come first, but also when they don't. Until next time, friends and travelers, when I review a couple more of my concerns, this ends today's segment of the Roving Social Worker podcast. Travel well and keep on traveling.